This is America's Roundtable from Washington, D.C., an initiative of the U.S.-based think tank International Leaders Summit in partnership with Lancer Broadcasting Corporation and Supertalk Mississippi Media. Thank you for joining us on America's Roundtable. I'm Joel Adansami, your co-host, joined by economist Natasha Sardorch, co-founder of International Leaders Summit and the Jerusalem Leaders Summit.
America's Roundtable guests include leading voices from business, government, media, energy, technology, healthcare, and the broad policy arena. Subscribe to America's Roundtable on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, and Spotify. Visit America's Roundtable at americasrt.com. americasrt.com. Follow us on Facebook, America's Roundtable, and Twitter at americasrt. We invite donors and advertisers to reach us by visiting our website, americasrt.com. Welcome to America's Roundtable.
A good morning and welcome to America's Roundtable from Washington, D.C. This weekend on America's Roundtable, we are going to be joined by leaders from Israel as we focus our attention on the terrorist attacks in the Jewish state carried out by Iranian-backed Hamas and the Palestinian Jihad. Today, we're joined by Jeremy Isakharov from Jerusalem. Ambassador Isakharov is the former ambassador of Israel to Germany and was previously the Vice Director General of the Foreign Ministry in Jerusalem. His diplomatic services on behalf of the government of Israel also brought him to serve as one of Israel's top diplomats in New York City, at the United Nations, and in Washington, D.C. Jeremy, we once again welcome you to America's Roundtable. Thank you for taking time and joining us this morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning, and thank you both, such great friends of Israel, for inviting me this morning.
Yes, first of all, our hearts go out to the people of Israel. Our hearts go out to each one of you. It's just very horrific to see the images and all that we have seen and heard from witnesses. And Jeremy, it was just only a few weeks ago that we focused on the breakthroughs in the Middle East on America's Roundtable with you, the expanding of the Abraham Accords. We talked about the Saudi talks with Israel, broken through the United States. And last weekend, we all woke up to news and messages from close friends and allies in Israel that the Jewish state was under attack. To date, we know that the terrorist attacks killed over 1,300 Israelis, including 22 Americans, and wounding over 3,300 Israeli citizens. And in fact, Jeremy, I realized that when we were talking to you just a few weeks ago, it was on the eve of our September 11, and this horrific incident in Israel is now being called Israel's 9/11. Jeremy, for our listeners here in America and in different parts of the world, they would be most interested to learning about this catastrophic series of events and how it unfolded. And could you take our listeners through what transpired for you and your family in Jerusalem and for the rest of the nation, specifically Israelis in southern Israel bordering the Gaza Strip last weekend?
Well, thank you, Joel. Well, as you know, Saturday was a Jewish festival, the festival of celebrating the Torah. Pretty early in the morning, I live in Jerusalem with my wife, and our children live in Tel Aviv. And pretty much at around 6-7 o'clock, all of a sudden, the phones were buzzing, and it was very unusual for a Saturday morning. Not too much time passed, and we started hearing sirens signifying a rocket attack on Jerusalem. Now, previous to that, there'd been a massive bombardment of the towns and villages around the Gaza Strip. And already by then, many people had crossed the border. They'd blown up various command and control facilities and were able to infiltrate into these Israeli towns. And as things transpired, it became pretty evident very early that, I mean, the entire philosophy and strategy of Hamas is to hurt Israeli civilians as much as possible without any discrimination, and also kidnap soldiers. And they did this in the opening hours in a very barbaric. I just you know, we have troubles in the Middle East and we have wars and we have hostilities, but this is going back to medieval barbarism. Mm. You behead babies, kill children, and kill parents in front of each other. And the pictures that began to emerge were just beyond belief. You know, these were the initial hours. And I, from then on, it was very clear to me that as bad as the picture of what was happening appeared to be, it was only going to get much worse. In the beginning, they talked of 100 people killed, 200. And as you said, it's well over 1,000, well over 2,000 people injured, some very seriously. And of course, one of the most heart-wrenching issues is the fact that they kidnapped men, women, and children, and soldiers, well over 100. I don't know exact figures, but even one person, two people, is already a tragedy in Israel. Because we know what the Hamas is. We know how they treat hostages. I mean, this is from the playbook of ISIS. They have ISIS flags.
Yes. Mm.
And you know what? They, in my opinion, went even beyond the brutality of ISIS in this attack. So this is the initial hours. And as you said, I don't think this is going to be over anytime soon. And we obviously we have a great deal on our agenda now in terms of restoring our deterrence and also dealing with this threat from Hamas and ensuring that Hamas never carries out an attack like this again. Mm,
right. Jeremy, it happened on the 50th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War that Hamas launched the most horrible terror attacks in Israeli history. As you said, fatalities topped 1,300 Israelis. The reports say that there are some 150 hostages that were taken by Hamas. Mm-hmm. It was devastating to watch the images and videos of the terrorist group Hamas instilling terror, brutally executing children and civilians, taking hostages, and desecrating the bodies of the dead. Israel is preparing for the ground invasion of Gaza, which is controlled by Hamas. What can you tell us about that and current situation?
Look, I think, as you know, the Israeli Air Force has been, and the ground forces have been very active in the last few days. We have resolutely targeted Hamas installations, Hamas capabilities, Hamas personnel. We've told civilians to clear out of there and to hide. Of course, Hamas has told them to stay where they are because Hamas obviously wants as many casualties as possible from its own people. I mean, they hide behind their own people, their own civilians, and they target our civilians at the same time. This is the pure banality of evil that they demonstrate. So we are targeting Hamas in a very serious manner. I mean, we supply with water, with electricity, and these also these means are being cut off. I mean, you know, we don't delight in taking these steps, but one thing must be understood. Israel cannot tolerate, no country can tolerate this kind of attack. And they have to understand that Israel's deterrence will be very strong and its response will be decisive and even devastating to the Hamas. But I would not go further than that at this point. At this point, we, as I said, have to target Hamas. We have to also consider very strongly and seriously the situation of our hostages. And we also are mindful of the situation in the north and the possibility that Hezbollah, which is another terrorist organization, an extreme fanatical religious organization backed by Iran, that they don't see this as an opportunity to enter the fray and also attack us from the north. There's been tension there. There's been some exchanges. But we have to pursue this. And I'm retired and I'm no longer in government, but if I was, I would definitely suggest We have to be very cold and collected at this point. Now, number one, you know, you guys, you mentioned 9/11. That was a horrific attack. This is the same genre of cynical attack of civilians. And these sort of events are unique in their brutality and have to be, the response to them has to be considered very carefully. And we have to also think of how we make this response in our own time and our own opportunity of choosing as well. And that's why I would strongly suggest they will feel our response. They are feeling our response as we speak, but we need to also consider how we pursue this very delicate situation in a very resolute way.
Jeremy, the state of Israel requires every Israeli citizen over the age of 18 to serve in the Israel Defense Forces. That's something that I think a great many of our American friends certainly would be surprised to learn. It's a commitment within Israel to serve in the army, to serve in the defense forces. And Natasha and I recall our time with you, Laura, and your family in 2015, if I'm not mistaken, the summer of 2015, when you kindly and most generously hosted us at your home. And we sat around the table. It was Shabbat, early Shabbat evening dinner. And we met with your children. And I remember one of them mentioning about the experiences that he had in 2014 when the Gaza conflict was in full action at that time. And for a great many of us, you know, in America, there is this tendency to think, well, if you have a military operation, you go in one day, you come out, or you go in there for a period of time. But I think it's important for Americans to understand, especially our elected officials, that it's one thing to stand in support of Israel today. But as this war gets uglier, meaning the reality and the brutality of, you know, the responses of Hamas and the war that will ensue in Gaza, that America needs to be strong in its support for the long haul. Yeah. Because we cannot see this evil resurface again. Yeah. We cannot see Hamas return to Israeli territory to cause havoc. And, you know, certainly we need to respond to this evil. What is your message to our fellow Americans in regard to that? And I know that as Israel's leaders make decisions, as you all made decisions in 2014, you're not just sending an army or military into Gaza. You're sending your sons and daughters. You're determining the fate of your children. That's so different than what happens in many capitals, including Washington, D.C.
Yeah, absolutely. And I say, look, as we stood shoulder to shoulder with the United States when 9/11 happened, I really have a strong sense. I think President Biden's speech was exceptional in support of Israel this week. I think the sending of the Gerald Ford strike force is an exceptional show of deterrence. I always remember the phrase that this is, and it's not just 100,000 tons of deterrence, it's also one of the most exceptional warfighting machines in a class of its own. So I think this is a time where alliance, the strategic alliance between Israel and America will remain strong. I think you're right. As things go on, you know, things will happen on the ground. And be frank, the pictures won't be easy. But you know, as this, first of all, you have to take into account we still don't have a fully accurate picture of all of what happened on the Israeli side of the border. It will take quite a while to identify bodies that the Hamas, you know, slaughtered and mutilated and desecrated and burnt. This is not a simple fact. And let's not forget that there are well over 20 American citizens who have been taken in this. And so therefore, this is not just an act of friendship and being nice to an ally. You know, America has got very clear interests in this situation. And And I think no one needs to explain to America how long it takes to deal with such evil. Mm. And again, after 9/11, it took quite a while to get Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. It wasn't done in a day, but it took painstaking intelligence. And in the end, I think the supreme goal of this has to be is that no one who had responsibility for this atrocity will live to understand what he did. Hmm. And I say it in the most forceful terms, and I'm sure the Israeli government is mobilized in all of its intelligence agencies to find a very clear picture of who was involved, what they did, and to and definitely find every possible means to close the account with them in the most serious way.
Mm. Right. Jeremy, what are your thoughts about what should be done with Iran? Since the reports are obvious saying that Hamas is funded, backed, trained by Iran, Iran is also funding Hezbollah, that is a threat to Israel from the north, from Lebanon. Iran is behind Houthis in Yemen.
Yeah.
And in one of the reports in Wall Street Journal, it mentions that Iran threatened that if attacked, they're going to have even their soldiers, Iranian soldiers, come to attack Israel via Syria. So if we know that there would not be Hamas if it wasn't for Iran's backing and financing and training, mm-hmm. and the current situation is such that something obviously needs to happen. We need to have a strategy. We need to deal with Iran. So what are your thoughts?
Well, my concerns about Iran, I've dealt with Iran since the mid-90s when I was in Washington. And I've been very concerned over the last year that the Iranian nuclear program in and of itself has never been as advanced as it is now. They have blown away the JCPOA. They have enriched well up to 60% and probably even some reports of the IAEA to 84%. And the only thing that separates them from weapons-grade uranium is a decision, a political decision, and maybe a few weeks to actually accomplish that, and a very few weeks. So I've been very much concerned about that. I'm also concerned about their missile capabilities that can independently hit Israel, and also their gross proliferation of the smaller, shorter-range, more accurate missiles that they've supplied Hamas and Hezbollah, also supplying drones, etc. But you are absolutely right. Their degree of destabilizing the Middle East in general, whether it's in Yemen, whether it's in Iraq, whether it's in Lebanon, whether it's in Syria, is immense. And this is another startling and staggering demonstration of Iranian irresponsibility. But, you know, we also, at the end of the day, you know, we watch Iranian attempts very clearly. We've watched it over the last years in Syria in terms of the supply to Hezbollah. And we're very alert about it. But in the end of the day, we need concerted American European action. This is not about maybe we should go back to the JCPOA. The logic underlying the JCPOA is no longer valid.
Absolutely.
And you need a strong, robust international effort to exponentially increase the pressure on Iran and to show them that they too, just as Hamas will pay for what they did, they will pay for what they are doing. And, you know, in the end, no one in the West who lives in democracies want to do these kind of things. But we all need to shore up our deterrence and explain this is what's going to happen when you guys cross the line. And they're crossing the line now, and we cannot afford to ignore it.
Yeah. Jeremy, there's one issue that we've noticed. We have been witnessing the great support from European countries, Germany, for example, mm-hmm. France and others, they really stepped in, and the European Union actually cut off all funding to Palestinian organizations. That would be for the Palestinian Authority, as well as, you know, many funding going to Hamas. And that was sort of a step in the right direction. However, here in the United States over the weekend, actually, just after the attacks in Israel, there were protests in New York City, in Washington, D.C., and other cities, not just only here in America, but also in Europe, that were actually cheering for the Palestinians. We were shocked to see, even in the streets of London, individuals dressed up like Hamas and chanting and showing symbols of support that were uniquely for Hamas. Now, there is no moral equivalency. When you look at what Israel is doing as a rule of law democratic nation and what Hamas is doing in brutally, in their savagery, attacking civilians, what is your message to perhaps individuals and media, journalists, influencers, leaders, about choosing which side of history they want to be on? Are they wanting to be on the side of the rule of law and democracy and decency and justice, or to relegate themselves to supporting terror?
And this is, as I said, this is a whole new, you know, kind of manifestation of terror. I mean, beheading babies, raping women, maybe in front of their children and killing them. I mean, this is, you know, people have said this is, I mean, it's barbaric, savage. They're like animals. Animals, you know, if they kill, they kill to eat. This is, you know, a force of nature. This is well beyond this. I can't even, you know, find a way to adequately describe the horror here. And, you know, one of the things I'd say is I don't remember after 9/11, people on the streets of America or even Europe, you know, glorifying what, you know, ISIS did. And this is, you know, as I've said before, way beyond ISIS. And Hamas is no sanitized version of the Palestinian people. Look, I have Palestinian friends. I've talked to Palestinians. We try and to moderate Palestinians to have a conversation in order to look for a political horizon for both of our communities. Hamas is not in this for that. They have no political horizon. Their only political horizon is to get rid of Israel, destroy it. And, you know, what they did over the last few days in the South is exactly what they would do to the country as a whole if they took over from Israel, which will never happen. But, you know, this is what they are. And I want, you know, these people who are demonstrating and thinking this is some kind of like freedom fighter. You know, this is no Che Guevara. This is no, you know, whatever you want to glorify them as. These are brutes and people that should be taken beyond the pale of humanity. And this, if there was one thing the International Court of Justice in The Hague was, the criminal court was set up for, is to bring these people to justice. And if not to justice, to make sure that they do not live out their lives.
Indeed.
Right. I just wanted to mention for Iran again, Hamas being a puppet of Iran, I mean, savages, the timing of it. We talked to you just a few weeks ago about normalizing relations with Saudi Arabia. A new dawn again in the region after successful Abraham Accords. The Arab countries are coming together with Israel, and Iran just could not stand that.
I agree.
Which is so just make life miserable for everyone. And this we have to counter. This is the time to expand the Abraham Accords, to normalize relations with Saudi Arabia. What are the next steps in that direction? Once you get rid of savages, to look to the brighter future for everyone, for Arabs and Jews.
Look, you make the most, Natasha, the most amazing, the accurate points. We talked about the possibility of broadening the Abraham Accords with Saudi Arabia. And let's be honest, this was before everything happened in the South, already a complicated process. Because there's a dimension here of an agreement needed and various issues between Saudi Arabia and the United States, and also Israel and Saudi Arabia. So it's already from the get-go, it's a very complicated thing. But I totally agree with your assessment that this potential, you know, major breakthrough in the Arab-Israeli conflict as a whole is anathema to Iran. Mm. It's about people living in peace, people normalizing their lives. Mm. It's about people trading and people working together and not wasting their time killing each other and hating each other. And this is the total, you know, anathema to the Iranian regime. And the only way the Iranian regime can continue and persist and nurture itself is through the suffering of others, undermining any form of normalcy in all of the countries I already mentioned, and bringing terror to these places. I mean, they've ruined Lebanon as a country, as an independent sovereign state. Syria is a failed state in and of itself. Iraq is struggling. Yemen, I just don't even know how to define the situation there. And that's why I say that, you know, this is one of the reasons why I think Israel and America have a very strong and realize that we have a very strong interest. Number one, Israel needs to be strong. Our deterrence needs to be shored up. Number two, America is not just doing this for out of simple friendship. They also have very significant interests. I mean, as I said, over 20 citizens involved in this horrific attack that have been targeted in this horrific attack. And also America has to send a very strong message to the wider region, to Hezbollah and to Iran. Don't, as President Biden said, don't mess with us. Mm-hmm. And I think they would do very well to consider this message very strongly, because I can assure you that, you know, if we need to mess with them, we'll mess with them, and we'll mess with them in a very serious way. So I think that, you know, these elements of like coordination between Israel and America are absolutely their strategic interests of the first order. And in addition to that, I'd say that the need to do everything we can for moderate Arab countries in the region and Israel to consolidate the Abraham Accords, to consolidate the process of normalization, is a key strategic challenge, no less important than the others I've mentioned. Mm-hmm. This is the fight, you know, we have to fight for the heart and soul of this region. Mm-hmm. And this is a time for big decisions and very, very resolute action.
Jeremy, we truly thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us here on America's Roundtable and engaging with our listeners. That moral clarity that you've presented is so important for us to know that we're in this together, America, Israel, and Arab countries that also share in that hope that one day there will be peace in the region, that there will be prosperity, and that evil will truly be eradicated. And I just wanted to share with our listeners that Jeremy Isakharov joins us from Jerusalem. Ambassador Isakharov is the former ambassador of Israel to Germany and was previously the vice director general of the foreign ministry in Jerusalem. And his diplomatic services on behalf of the government of Israel brought him to serve as one of Israel's top diplomats in New York City, at the United Nations, and in Washington, D.C. Thank you, Ambassador Isakharov, for joining us on America's Roundtable. And we certainly stand with Israel. We stand with you all, not just only now, for the long haul as well.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. We stand with Israel.
Thank you, Joel, Natasha. I really appreciate your friendship.
This is America's Roundtable from Washington, D.C., an initiative of the U.S.-based think tank International Leaders Summit in partnership with Lancer Broadcasting Corporation and Supertalk Mississippi Media. Thank you for joining us on America's Roundtable. I'm Joel Adensami, your co-host, joined by economist Natasha Sardorch, co-founder of International Leaders Summit and the Jerusalem Leaders Summit.
America's roundtable guests include leading voices from business, government, media, energy, technology, healthcare, and the broad policy arena. Subscribe to America's Roundtable on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, and Spotify. Visit America's Roundtable at americasrt.com. americasrt.com. Follow us on Facebook, America's Roundtable, and Twitter at americasrt. We invite donors and advertisers to reach us by visiting our website, americasrt.com.